you believe?
Brown cow. Stunning.
Let there be a thousand blossoms worth as far as I'm concerned.
You're the homosexual. I care about you.
Go back.
No, I'm not going.
Because it's done.
Hi.
Hi, it's Patrick and Ruby. We're back.
We are back. Isn't that cute?
That's so cute. Much like you're the demon in the corner of your room during your sleep paralysis, we're back and we're not going away.
Yeah, we're just kind of going to stand there. Like, hi, but not really do anything. Like, we won't hurt you, but we're definitely not going to, like, move away. We might move closer.
I won't blink.
I will, but so much that it makes you uncomfortable.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in for the show this week. Next week, we'll be talking... No, I'm kidding.
This is It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3. My name is Ruby.
My name is Patrick.
And...
we're here today.
We are here. And we are ready to do the show.
We are. Our brains are a little bit soupy, especially mine. I have been up since about 5 a.m. because today's show, we're doing musicals, the most inherently gay art form,
this
instead of adult films starring
gay people.
Gays.
Yeah.
But yes, so we're doing that. So I, unfortunately, our interviewee, John McRae, was based in Britain, in the UK.
I mean, it's
London.
It's not that unfortunate. I'm sure he likes it.
I'm sure it's lovely. But that means we had to do the interview at 9:15 a.m. So I was in here. If you were listening to breakfast, I was in the studio next to Tess.
Yeah.
Her mouse broke once. I'm very sorry for that.
Yeah. And I was at work.
And Ruby was at work. And then I went home.
I got to make that shmoney.
She's got to make that dance.
That green.
And yeah, and then I went home, had a 2-hour nap, ate $34 worth of Indonesian food, and now I'm here.
Nice. I had a falafel wrap today, so I can safely say that I'm better than everybody.
That's true. I was at work the other night, and I brought falafel and some pita bread. You think you're sly drinking that coffee. We can hear you.
I heard myself and it made me uncomfortable.
But I brought some pita bread and some falafel to munch on. I didn't bring sauce though, and that you need it because falafels can be quite dry.
How much bread?
Pita.
A pita bread?
A pita bread.
Just a little pita bread. I'm sorry. Please.
Thank you. So we have a toasted sandwich maker at work. So I put the pita bread on the toasted sandwich maker, lined up three falafels. They were looking good. But then I took out a fourth falafel to put place underneath the three I'd already put down on the pita bread. And it was moldy.
No.
And it was like wet white mold.
The other day I was at my partner's house and I went to the fridge because I remembered that I had left a bottle of coconut water to drink later on in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there are a few bottles of coconut, few cartons. A few coconut waters in here. I'll take the one that has the least amount because that must be the last one that I was drinking.
Uh-huh.
And I took it out of the fridge. I went back to my partner's room and I took two big gulps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
Schmaldi.
Tastes strange. And then I had a sniff of it. It did not sniff good. It smelt very bad. And I had two gulps. And I just like to thank God and also Jesus that I am alive on this day because I thought I was going to die.
That is so... That's so good. Thank you for sharing that
story.
You're
welcome.
But a moral of my story, the pita bread story, if you run out of falafels to make your pita wrap, just take the pita bread and that good Lebanese one, just put it in the toasted sandwich maker and like toast it on both sides till it's crispy. It's nice.
Yum.
It's still nice.
Yum, yum.
I told that to one of my friends at work and she was like, that's really sad. And I was like, don't judge me. Don't do that.
Don't... flipping judge me. I was about to cuss, and then I'm like, no, we can't cuss. But we can.
We can, actually. Can but we're not going to do it because we want to tease you. Yeah. So we're going to play some song now. Song. As you may or may not know, the Grinch movie, the new Illumination and Dr. Seuss's The Grinch is coming out shortly. Tyler, the Creator, did a song for that. You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. And he's released just an album of music inspired by.
And it's real good. It's really real good.
So we're going to be playing Hot Chocolate by Jerry Paper.
Before we do, I just want to say there's a JPEG that Patrick and I have been finding very, very funny. And it was literally someone had edited this.
I don't think we can say that on air.
We can't.
I don't think we can. It's like, okay, so it's like a billboard ad in the New York subway or something for the Grinch.
And clearly it's been doctored.
But it's just the Grinch's face, and next to it is, I'm gonna F your dad. And now, Hot Chocolate featuring Jerry Paper by Tyler, the Creator.
Marshmallows on top and some extra whip. You can even use cinnamon on top. Hot chocolate.
By the fire, I slip up, go tonight.
Tyler, the Creator, featuring Jerry Paper.
It's so good.
So good. As we were discussing during that song, recently came out that Tyler, the Creator is dating Jaden Smith.
Very cute. We love it.
The offspring of Willow.
Nope.
No, that's his sister.
That's his sister. That's
Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. There we go. I have it. So, we are going to, we got a hot scoop interview for you now. Earlier this morning, with no help from my co-host, because she was working, it's fine, I spoke to John McRae, the lead in the West End musical Everybody's Talking About Jamie. And you know what everyone's talking about, Ruby?
Jamie.
No, this interview I did this morning.
Oh, great.
I know, it's wild. And we'll play that for you, and we will be back for you in about 10 minutes after you hear my lovely buttery voice speaking to John McRae. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight there, John. So to start off, why don't you tell us a bit about the show?
The show, the sort of plot is a young boy from Sheffield who decides that he wants to go to his school prom in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his way of sort of telling everybody that his main ambition in life is to be a drag queen. That's sort of the skeleton of the show. But I believe the sort of organs and the heart and the lungs of the show is a story about an only child and a single mother and sort of how they navigate their everyday life with, you know, with being all each other has.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a true story, so that makes it all the more special.
Oh, that's fantastic. It does sound a bit like Billy Elliot there, but for a new age.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Except I guess one of the huge differences, and it's an important difference to cite, is that the hero of our story is a homosexual and he is quite effeminate. Billy Elliot is a straight acting, straight young kid who just happens to like dance.
Yeah.
Which is in some way, I guess, for that time, more digestible for an audience. Whereas mm-hmm. he's gone, these people exist, he's a queer kid, he has ambitions that are outside the norm. Not just in his community, but I guess in everyday life,
yeah,
to do quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of going on from that, how do you think the story of Jamie, the character you play, apply to and help people in real life, to, like in a similar situation?
Well, I think the really interesting thing about the show is that it could seem quite niche, really, mm-hmm. but actually, when you come and see it, or when you watch the live screening at the cinema or whatever it is you're doing, you'll realize that actually there's a universal aspect to mm-hmm. the whole show, and it's about being who you are and following your dreams and doing yeah. what you want to do in life, regardless of your naysayers. And that's something that everybody has to face on a day-to-day basis. You know, it sort of removes the stigma mm-hmm. and shows you the individual behind, you know, being a gay kid or being a drag queen or being a Muslim. You know,
yeah.
my best friend in the show is a Muslim character, so mm-hmm. you know, we really just identify the individual behind every story.
Yeah, absolutely. And so diversity, as you said, is sort of a key aspect of the show.
Absolutely.
Why do you think it's so important to have more diverse roles available in theatre and performance?
Well, because it represents real life. I mean, to be honest with you, that's the only reason that we have such a diverse cast, is because that is what the community is like in Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
That's what day-to-day life is like in that community. You know, there are wonderful shows like Hamilton that have cast in a diverse way and they're sort of making a statement about it.
Yeah.
And that's great too. That's showing diversity on stage and giving roles to people that I guess they'd never really assumed they'd get in the first place. Whereas mm-hmm. what we're doing is we are just literally holding a mirror up to society and going, this is what the world looks like. This is what the city looks like. This is what the multicultural country looks like. So for it to be all white actors on stage would just make zero sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And do you think the fact that it's such a, well, I wouldn't want to say controversial, but such a maybe confronting premise for some people,
mm-hmm.
And there yeah. is such a diversity in the show, do you think that some people who come see it or hear about it, do you think they would sort of be unhappy with it or find it challenging at all?
I mean, to be honest, I've never once come across anybody that didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that didn't, you know, but to be honest with you, those people never really, I would hate to think that those people would go out of their way to sort of tell us about it.
Yeah.
Hoping that if they don't understand it, you know, then they can just walk away from it and not understand it. And that's fine too. You know, we are really just accepting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree with it. You know, you don't have to, you don't have to look at the show and go, oh, you know, I'm for it.
Yeah.
That's not real life.
Mm-hmm.
We want to cater to everybody. And if somebody walks away, if like, say, for instance, if we had a Trump supporter in the audience, you know, we hope that they'd still get an enjoyable night at the theatre, even if the morals of the show didn't exactly align with their own. It doesn't mean that they can't come and just sort of lose themselves in the music, or
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, it is entertainment. It's show
yeah.
business. It's we're telling a story, and yes, it is important, but we are also here to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to bang a drum or make certain people feel like they're not welcome, because
yeah.
they are so welcome.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And sort of, you have done stuff like TV and film before. So how is performing in a live show, how is it different? How is it, do you prefer it to TV and film, or?
Yes, I do, personally. As an actor, I much prefer it, because I'm a control freak, and I get to control what happens. You know, when you do TV and film, you give your performance over to the editors at the end of the day, and then you have no idea what's going to show up on the screen. Whereas, you know, and also a chance to correct your mistakes. You know, I've literally just come off stage. There were certain things I wasn't happy with about that performance, and I'm never completely satisfied. Mm-hmm. But what's beautiful is that I get the opportunity to go and correct them tomorrow, or at least try.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't get in television and film.
Yes.
And also to share an experience. It's a shared experience with the audience. We are breathing the same air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's wild.
Yeah, it's something you don't really think about with TV and film. Like, you're seeing those people, but they're not sort of relative to you. They're not near where you are. They aren't experiencing the same. But with theatre, it's very much a live medium. Yeah. They're right there with you.
It is. And I genuinely believe that, you know, when you guys see the live screening, hopefully you will feel more like you are in the theatre than you are watching a film. Because it really does, it's an epic event to be part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So in
and you get that audience reaction from it as well, which is really
yeah. As you said before, like there's a certain relatability to the story there. Like you could substitute wanting to go to prom in a dress with another similar struggle, sort of.
Okay.
So do you, did you receive any of that prejudice for striving to be an actor in the same way?
No, I was really, really lucky because I went to a theatre school, so I was surrounded by people that wanted to do the same thing as I did,
mm-hmm.
and people that had the same dreams and aspirations that I did. I never felt sort of singled out for my aspirations, and I can't tell you how grateful I am for that every single day. And I understand that, therefore, I have a responsibility, because there will be people in the audience who are a lot closer to Jamie than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my responsibility to speak for them and on behalf of them and sort of give them a message that they can connect to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the job of being an actor, is to, you know, dive into somebody else's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And what drew you to
really
the... Yeah, what drew you to the role of Jamie in particular?
I've just never quite known anything like it. A, to be trusted with leading a whole show,
mm-hmm.
as a 25-year-old who had relatively sort of, you know, smaller credits.
Mm-hmm.
I was given that trust. I felt, you know, and you know, to, again, like I said earlier, being the hero of the story,
mm-hmm.
rather than at the end of the day having, you know, being saved by the patriarchal white male or
yeah.
something like that, you know, like a lot of stories, you know, and that was really, and also, you know, I've been with it since day one. So actually creatively, I am very involved.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's going to be hard to let it go.
Oh, that's, and like, what is one feature of Jamie, the character that you wish you, or you want to take away with you?
I am much further away from him in that aspect of life. I'm not mm-hmm. really, he's very much an extrovert,
mm-hmm.
and I am so not, but I guess I don't necessarily want to become an extrovert, because that's not what our show is about. It's about embracing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I would like to take away from it is, you know, just being completely comfortable in my own skin.
Oh.
Which I don't necessarily know if anybody ever really achieves, but it's worth striving for, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And so thank you so much for being on the show there
You're
today,
welcome.
John. It's been a fantastic interview, and we can't wait to see what you do next.
I know. I hope you really enjoy the screening.
And, yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on we have a Twitter handle and Instagram and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So please, we encourage all your listeners to sort of give us their feedback and what they thought of the show, and we hope you enjoy it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And that was John McCrae from Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
He sounded like a sweet man.
He was a sweet man. It's going to do a little secret here. Halfway through the interview, the lovely publicist who sort of patched through the call for me, she dropped out halfway through it. So just halfway through the original recording, there's just a beep, beep, beep. And I'm just like,
come back. No. Come back.
Please.
Please.
But yeah, we still have like another 10 minutes to hang out with you bros.
And because of that, we might just go into a little bit of a what do we think about it, though?
That was too much affect. I didn't like
Why?
That.
I love making
noise. I didn't
noise.
Like that. Okay, okay. Before we get to what do you think about it, though? What do we think about it,
just
though?
Just me.
What do you think about it? We are in a studio. This studio has three windows. On one of them, someone has stuck a green jelly baby It is just stuck on the window, and it really, really scares us.
It's haunted. It's cursed. I think there's like a ghost inside of that tiny
jelly baby.
But who
would do that?
I hate it with my life.
I'm going to find a post-it note somewhere and just.
Why would you do this?
Why?
Who is this boy?
Come your man.
Come get your boy.
Okay.
I got something loud. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We burst your eardrums. Mm. We'll pay for it. But yeah, what do we think about it? Musicals, dancing, singing.
Well, okay. I love musicals. Sorry, that took me a while. I love musicals. And it's very interesting because, like, every single time I look up, like, when we're doing Golden Oldies and we have a look at, like, some gay anthems and stuff, Somewhere Over the Rainbow always pops up.
Uh-huh.
And
Rip in Peace, Judy Garland.
Rip in Peace. And, like, The Wizard of Oz is... For the longest time, I didn't even realize that it's actually seen as like a kind of signature film in LGBT history.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of gay people were referenced as Friends of Dorothy.
Friends of Dorothy, yes. That was a euphemism for being a gay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like Judy Garland was such a massive queer icon, one of the first, really. That was so mainstream. And yeah, that's like sort of... I guess sort of where some of the fascination with musicals came from. And her daughter, Liza Minnelli, who is just so...
Liza, my friend. So Liza Minnelli.
Liza! No, you can't do it.
That was more like Anastasia, you know.
I don't know. I haven't seen that movie.
Sad alone. Not the movie. Okay. Anyway, Liza Minnelli. Sorry, this is just a fun Liza Minnelli fact. Liza Minnelli was... I think in a few episodes of Arrested Development, and my friend bought one of the, there was like this charity run happening, and Liza Minnelli sold a few of like her scripts from things she'd been in.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a copy of one of Liza Minnelli's scripts from Arrested Development.
Ooh.
And it's even got like a bit of lipstick on it, like a coffee stain, like...
Yeah, little known fact, Liza Minnelli just makes out with her scripts. That's how she absorbs it through lipmosis.
Yeah.
She just goes...
Yes.
Yeah. Although I will recommend, if I could choose, just watch Cabaret. I watched it for probably year 12 extension English because I was so literary and smart. I don't think I've ever read a book. I've never seen a book.
What did I do for year 12 English? I remember I one of like the pieces of my choice, like the films that I could do that were my choice to write an essay on was The Interview, and not The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Oh, God, I was going to say.
Not that one. It was The Interview with Hugo Weaving.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of it is just set in this... this interrogation room at a police station.
Yes.
And it's Hugo Weaving's character being interrogated about like the murder of this man. Mm-hmm. And through the whole film, you just can't tell if he killed him or he didn't. And like,
does he sing?
No, he doesn't sing.
Shame.
Yeah. But like, it was really interesting because like, I think I had to compare it to Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And like throughout the entirety of Blade Runner, you're like, are the replicants really the bad guys here?
Yes.
And no, well, they're not, but like...
I've never seen that movie, so...
Okay.
I haven't seen so many movies. We'll talk about that later.
Go on. Watch Blade Runner. It's so good. But yeah, like, so that was my year 12. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about musicals.
Segway, Hugo Weaving, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, true.
Lorg singing on a bus.
Oh, Priscilla.
I watched that movie only earlier this year. I have seen so few iconic movies, but I liked it a lot. It was so cool.
It's fantastic.
Except there's a scene where one of the main characters, drag queen, gets like chased by very angry homophobes, and that scares me a lot.
Yeah.
I really don't like that. Valid. It scares me.
But it is real.
It is real. So what are your favorite three? Go favorite three musicals.
Like in general?
In general. Can be stage or film.
Stage or film. I'm going to say Rocky Horror Picture Show would definitely be one because it is just fantastic. This may not count, but I'm going to do it anyway. A Star is Born.
I haven't seen it
yet. It's fantastic. The most, like all of them are good.
Yeah.
But.
Every single, there is not a bad one.
Like, because Star is Born has been remade four times now. Well, three times now.
Yeah.
Not including the original. Original, Judy Garland. Second one, Audrey, no.
Second one, a lady.
Yeah, okay, first one was Judy Garland, and then the next one was someone else, and then the next one was Barbara Streisand, and then the next one was Lady Gaga.
Amazing. But
A Star is Born with Lady Gaga, that's another one of my favorite musicals. So we've got Rocky Horror Picture Show, A Star is Born, and, oh, that's so rough. I'm gonna Little Shop of Horrors.
I've never seen that one either.
It's so good. It's a big old people eating plant that sings. Genius.
Is that the one that just Feed Me Seymour? Is that one?
I think so.
Yeah. My favorites. Sound of Music, the movie.
Yeah, too.
Iconic, wonderful. So small children singing. One's a Nazi. Not great.
That's it.
not great, but he doesn't kill them in the end.
Do you remember
Nuns Who Break Things? Love that.
Do you remember the movie The Pacifier with Vin Diesel?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
That's a terrible movie. I wouldn't.
Okay, just going to quickly say, Vin Diesel in The Pacifier, the son, like the eldest son, he thinks that he's getting into like white supremacist stuff. He's actually just in a
musical.
Stage production of Sound of Music. But please go on.
So yeah. And then I saw a stage show of Mary Poppins, although the musical is also wonderful. Third one. Let's think about that one. I've seen Wicked. I've seen.
Did you say Priscilla?
Priscilla's very good. I've seen Lion King, which I did not like. Controversial.
In the stage production?
Oh, no. Lion King, the movie, is my favorite movie of all time.
I saw the stage production when I was really young, and I just didn't understand. I'm like, this isn't much like the movie to me, so I don't know what this means. I was very
young.
What that means.
I love Rocky Horror Picture Show too.
It's so good.
It's so good. I'm sorry, I'm touching the microphone and stop. It's just like, I'm just going to fix it. Be 1 second. Yeah, I'm going to have to go for Priscilla for my third one. Like,
valid.
It's pretty good.
So mine, Rocky Horror Picture Show, A Star is Born, and Little Shop of Horrors, and yours are
Sound of Music, Mary Poppins,
and
the third one.
And Priscilla. Okay, Wicked.
Although I did, Wicked, well. Pun. I did buy once the $34 album of Les Mis' original West End recording.
Because
I was singing.
Miserable Lesbians.
Yeah, it's just about miserable lesbians. And it's just like, that was a wild purchase, and I still have it on my phone, and I still listen to it occasionally. It's some sick beats. But yeah, there have been some great, like, more niche musicals coming around Australia, especially recently. There's been Muriel's Wedding. There's been Heathers. There's been Kinky Boots, another gay one.
Book of Mormon made its way over here.
It did, but it was too expensive.
Yeah, but apparently it's, like, fantastic.
It is.
From what I've heard.
That's true. We're going to have to leave you now, though, because our wonderful boys in Hardcore Classic, they're frothing at the bit to get on.
Aww,
chomping at the bit.
So excited. Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic next time with our sweet boys.
This is It's a Gay Area, 2SER 107.3. I'm not Ruby.
And I am not Patrick.
See you next week.
Was kissed her. There was a woman whose name was Norman, and the pretty knickers.
That was just the doorman.
Pass it on. There was a doorman whose name was Norman, and then the doorman kissed his sister.
She's a Mormon.